WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It on WNYC. Today we say goodbye to a brilliant writer, Toni Morrison. She died last night at a hospital in the Bronx. The well-known novelist and essayist was renowned for her powerful poetic voice and the artistry she brought to her explorations of what it means to be Black in America. She was born in Lorain, Ohio in 1931 as Chloe Wofford. At 14, Morrison helped out at a library where her older sister worked when she began to delve into the classics like Jane Austen and Tolstoy. In 1953, Morrison graduated from Howard University and returned there as a teacher, where she helped raise a generation of Black writers and thinkers, including activist Stokely Carmichael. Morrison is perhaps best known for her Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, Beloved, which she dedicated to, quote, 60 million and more, a reference to the Africans who died as a result of the transatlantic slave trade. Another classic is her novel, The Bluest Eye, which probes American notions of race, beauty, and in the words of one critic, quote, the colonization of the mind. When Morrison became the first Black woman to win the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1993, she was cited by the prize committee for the, quote, visionary force and poetic import, which in her novels, quote, give life to an essential aspect of American reality. In her later years, Morrison was a professor emeritus at Princeton University. She debuted an opera in 2011 titled Desdemona, which was an alternate woman-centric take on Shakespeare's Othello. A statement put out by her family reads, she treasured the written word, whether her own, her students, or others. She read voraciously and was most at home when writing. Although her passing represents a tremendous loss, we are grateful she had a long, well-lived life. Toni Morrison was 88 years old. Here is Toni Morrison from her 1993 Nobel Laureate acceptance speech.
Fiction has never been entertainment for me. It has been the work I have done for most of my adult life. I believe that one of the principal ways in which we acquire, hold, and digest information is via narrative. So I hope you will understand when the remarks I make begin with what I believe to be the first sentence of our childhood that we all remember, the phrase, once upon a time.
For some generations, Toni Morrison has always been Toni Morrison. But once upon a time, she was Chloe Wofford of Lorain, Ohio.
It is my birth name, Chloe. My saint's name, Anthony. My maiden name, Wofford. People mispronounce it all the time. They said Chlo, even my teachers. Chlo, Clow, or Clovis. So I just shortened it to my saint's name. And then, of course, the married name, Morrison. It's a way of dividing your life. One of those names is the person who is out there. And the other one is the one who isn't, who doesn't do documentaries.
Filmmaker and portrait photographer Timothy Greenfield Sanders knew Toni Morrison well. In a statement he shared with us, quote, I've been privileged to know Toni Morrison for nearly 40 years. During that time, she won many awards and accolades, the Nobel, a Pulitzer, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. But for me, Toni has been a treasured collaborator, a monumental inspiration, and most importantly, a cherished friend. We will all miss her, but the gift she left us, her written works that have transformed so many lives around the world, live on to educate, empower, and nourish us. For this and all she shared with us, I say thank you, Toni. My deepest sympathies go out to her family and friends. Timothy Greenfield Sanders directed the documentary Toni Morrison, Pieces I Am, and joined me in the studio back in June to talk about it and to talk about Morrison's legacy. I began by asking him how the two of them first met. Take a listen.
Toni came to my studio in the East Village in 1981. I had a little studio. I was starting out as a photographer. And it was a cover for the Soho News. And I remember she walked in smoking a pipe.
Thought that woman will be my friend.
And we became friends, you know, from that moment on. She was, someone asked me recently, do I remember the shoot? What do I remember about it? And I said, I remember how confident she was. And as a photographer, you kind of read the person who's there in front of you to sort of indicate, in your mind, you want to say, you know, does that person need something? Are they nervous? What can I do to make them comfortable in front of the camera? And Toni was like, I'm here. Let's do it. She was just very secure in who she was.
How did this film come about?
You know, Toni and I have been friends all these years. I was her photographer for a lot of book jackets and press and things like that. And in the last, well, let's go back to the Blacklist series that I did. Toni was the inspiration for that. It started in a conversation in my kitchen in 2005 with her. We were doing portraits for Margaret Gardner, the opera that she had written the libretto for. And she said we should do a book on black divas. And that idea morphed into The Blacklist, which became a series of nine films in identity. And I always thought Toni was the subject of her own documentary. But at a certain point, you think, you know, it's now or never. And I felt an urgency.
She narrates her own story, given straight to camera. Why did you make this choice?
I was very conscious of my white male gaze, in a sense. And I wanted to kind of dramatize that this was Toni telling her story. So in the film, she looks at camera. The other people, the other 12 interviewees, are looking off camera talking about her. And I had this idea to combine that, you know, this sort of inventive structure that way, to invent that structure, really, because you don't see it in films. You either do it one way or the other. And once you lock into it, you're stuck with it. You know, does it
sure.
work? But it worked.
Well, I would be less concerned about the white male gaze because you're a professional. This is what you do for a living. I'd be more concerned about the friendship gaze. Like how you make a documentary about someone with whom you've had an intimate friendship.
You know, Toni, the Toni you see in the film is the Toni I know. She comes across very funny, brilliant, of course. But she's a storyteller, and I think we kind of created a space for her to sit there and tell her story, which she had not really done before. There's no biographies of Toni Morrison.
Was there ever a point in the filming, something you asked, something that where the filmmaker and the subject didn't agree?
Not really. I mean, there was so much material on the cutting room floor. That was the hardest part. The hardest part was to get this to be a fluid story about her life. And what we left out was just torture for us. There were so many other interesting moments. We left out a whole section on Shakespeare that we had Peter Sellers talking about that was fascinating. Toni's take on Shakespeare.
What the internet is for, my friend. After it's released, my guest is Timothy Greenfield Sanders. There, as you mentioned, there are people who sort of bear witness to Toni the person, and Toni the writer, and Toni the force. How did you decide who you wanted to talk to?
You know, I started with a big list, and Toni had a red editing pencil that she crossed out a lot of names. I'm not a director that likes to interview people and then not use the material. So I'm very, very, very mm-hmm. careful. It's a big ask. If you say to someone, I want you to sit for this film, and you know, they give you the day and they give you their time, and you don't put them in the film, it's a very difficult thing. I was heartbroken that we couldn't put Peter Sellers in. I'm going back to that. But it was, you know, he was the one of the 12 people that we didn't put in. But I think each person is very carefully chosen.
There's Oprah, there's Walter Mosley, there's academics, there's Sonia Sanchez. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I watched it last night. There aren't any family members.
There's no family members pontificating.
Yeah.
But there is so much about her family in the film. It opens with her talking about her grandfather reading the Bible, and how revolutionary that was, that you weren't allowed to learn to read or even read mm-hmm. in those days. And she refers to her children often in the film, and about what it was like being a single mother. There's a big section on the family's migration from Alabama to Lorain, Ohio. So, you know, I think there's a lot about her family, actually.
No, there is a lot about the family, but I was interested that there wasn't a member of the family as one of the witnesses, and was that a choice? Or did the family not want to, this was Tony's thing, and they weren't interested in being in the film?
No, that was not the case. It was really more like... I wanted to tell the story through Tony's eyes about mm-hmm. her family. It wasn't so important to me that some member of the family say, oh gosh, I remember she read all the time or something like that. What would that add? I wanted Tony to talk about how tight her family was and how important her family was to her. That was more interesting to me.
My guest is Timothy Greenfield Sanders. The name of the film is Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am. There's so much great archival footage, and there's so many great archival photos. Tell me about going on that treasure hunt to find all these images.
Well, Johanna Giebelhaus, who's the editor, did a phenomenal job as also the researcher, and she went out to Ohio and sat with the historical society there and found images that no one had ever seen that were just buried in boxes of Lorain, Ohio, when Tony was there. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, we had access to Random House's archive, and Princeton has Tony's archive. So we were able to look through that. So you see pieces of her original manuscripts and the editing of them. And, you know, it was a treasure trove, really. And the interviews out there, like Charlie Rose and Dick Cavett and Bill Moyer, some very, very important interviews that we were able to access as well.
Well, did you have any conversations about including the Charlie Rose footage, given, you know, 27 women accused of sexual harassment?
Fortunately, it was available. Oh, Tony, it's a very powerful interview. Tony's completely in charge and telling it like it is. You know, is it a bad optic that Charlie Rose is an interview with him? Sure, but I think the fact that it's Tony talking is more important.
It was the content of the interview.
Yeah, what she says is so riveting in that last Charlie Rose interview that's in the film. You'll see it's mm-hmm. a minute long or something, but it's a wonderful piece of footage that I'm happy I included it.
There's really interesting storytelling around her childhood and how she grew up in a fairly integrated part of Ohio. After hearing those stories and looking at all this footage, what impact do you think that had on her and the way she approached her adult life?
Toni tells us that her childhood was very integrated. Everybody was poor. It was mixed. And that she didn't really understand overt racism until she went to Howard, where skin tone was highly important, mm-hmm. that she was invited to a sorority, a particular one, because she had light skin. And there was a dark-skinned sorority, and that it shocked her.
And that she was at a segregated, and D.C. was...
A completely segregated, city. And she said, when you leave the campus, you know, you go out there and everything's, you know, colored this and segregation everywhere. And she was stunned that there would be that kind of segregation and, that skin tone would be so prevalent as an issue.
Yeah, and I think there's, watching it, it made me feel that, you know, she hadn't internalized a lot of those ideas, those bad ideas. And so she just had a very good sense of who she was.
Yeah.
And that is part of what makes Chloe Toni Morrison. Was there something about her story that you think is very much an American story? You know, there's a lot of discussion about her as a black woman, her as a black writer, as opposed to her as just a great American writer.
You know, I think what Paula Giddings says in the film is so brilliant. She says that if you don't understand the history of black women in America, you don't understand the history of America. And that's a very poignant, mm-hmm. important statement. And Toni was really one of the first, if not the first, to kind of write from this perspective of a perspective that was without the white male gaze, that was really black-centric completely and not caring about what white people thought of it.
Did you learn anything about your friend that you didn't know over the process of making the film?
You know, I learned so much because I think that you have a friendship with someone and it's a kind of, it's different from then, you don't research your friends.
Right.
But when you start to make a film about a friend of yours, you know, that her importance as an editor at Random House was mind-blowing to me. And the books that she got published there, from Angela Davis to Muhammad Ali, mm-hmm. Toni Kade Bambara, all of these extraordinary people that she worked with and brought to the foreground.
And it's all in the film. The name of it is Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am. Timothy Greenfield Sanders, thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Thank you very much.